answer all of your questions, your concerns. If you're renovating something or thinking about starting a project, hold your horses. Give us a call, 514-790-0800, or text us, same number, 514-790-0800. Walter, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I was under the weather during my time off. It always happens that you take time off and then your body goes, boom, you're going to be sick a little bit. But I'm okay. I've put a good safe distance between Walter and myself, so I'm not going to contaminate you. And I may or may not have sprayed Lysol in the studio, and I don't think it's a good idea because it smells terrible.
I think you're not smelling anything.
It's insanity. But listen, call us. We're going to be talking today about mold specifically because it's one of the big topics, right?
Correct. I mean, what's exciting is we have the mold expert from Health Canada who's going to talk to us about where the government stands, where Health Canada stands about mold. So everyone could have, like, because, you know, you hear a lot of different stories. You have the mold deniers, especially the old timers.
The mold deniers?
Oh, yeah. They still exist. Mold is good. We could eat it in cheese and we have it in penicillin. And you have these types of people.
Wow.
And you tell them, but you're breathing this. It's not good for you. Not good for your home. So what we did is we got Health Canada. You know, they have no skin in this game. They will actually kind of talk about everything there is to know about mold. Why is it good for you if it's good for you?
Well, this is the... We're going to get into this. Aaron Wilson is actually on the line. Without further ado, he's a biologist with Health Canada, and he's joining us this morning too, because I didn't even know that there were mold deniers. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time. Can you hear
Thanks
us?
For having me on.
Okay, so as you just heard Walter mention, first of all, I didn't realize, again, that there's such a thing as mold deniers, but in general, when you see mold... Is there a problem? Is that the starting point of this conversation?
If you can see mold inside your house, that means it's probably already started colonizing and you probably have some kind of issue. And with mold issues, it always comes down to moisture. There's too much moisture in your house. Mold can't grow without water. So water's coming into the house, whether it's just through condensation on windows or you have a bigger problem like a leaky pipe or even flooding or something like that in your basement.
Mm. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, Walter.
So one thing that I know we've had a discussion before, and you know, one of the things we talked about is when do you undertake the mold remediation yourself, and when should you hang your tool belt and give it to the professional? And I believe we talked about the formula together. Can we maybe touch a bit on that?
Sure. When you have fine mold in your house, that we have like three levels that we'd look at. A 1 square meter or one or 3 feet squared area. If you have an area that big or a bunch of little spots that are roughly smaller than that, that's something you can probably handle on your own. And you can clean that up just with soap and water and then making sure you dry the area out. That's the important part. Because if the materials stay wet for more than 24 to 48 hours, the mold is going to be inside the materials. It'll have to be removed. So if you have wet drywall, that'll probably have to be removed if it's been wet for 24 or 48 hours or if it's soaked. But you get a bigger contamination, say between 1 and 3 square meters, you can still probably clean. Most people can clean that themselves, but anything beyond that, 3 square meters, we recommend you get professional help and you'd want to hire a company to come and assess the problem. Or if you have mold that keeps reoccurring. So say you do have the 1 square meter patch or 1 to 3 square meter patch and you clean it up and it returns within a few weeks, there's an underlying problem in your house. So there's going to be some kind of moisture issue, whether it's a leaky pipe you're not aware of, or there's maybe mold growing inside a cavity in your house and there's some water that's inside between the walls and you might need help to actually try and fix that problem before you can actually even remove the mold itself.
Okay, well, that's a great point. Usually, so when you do clean the mold and it does come back, that means it's probably cavity mold and it's not just surface mold.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, Aaron, and this is interesting, particularly here in Montreal, we've had terrible flooding. We had a water main break. I mean, basically, we've had a lot of water issues in different parts of the city. For people who, and Walter took all these calls and trying to sort of help people out while they were dealing with the aftermath of these kind of catastrophic floods, what happens? What kind of mold are we talking about when an event like that happens? I mean, is it a total write-off at that point when the water comes up out of the basement, you've got water coming out of the bathrooms, and what happens then?
Well, my first thought is you might also have like sewage coming into the house. And now that's not something I am an expert in, but usually in that case, you're going to need professionals that have to decontaminate the whole place. But once the water's, if you have feet of water in your basement or your house, risks. So I would not deal with that, and you'd have to call the fire department before you'd even go into the basement. But you're gonna need someone to do a full cleanup, probably anything, drywall, even the flooring itself, even if it is a composite wood flooring you have in the basement or something. The underpadding would be soaked, and that's all gonna have to be removed. We
Health-wise,
don't
because
recommend
sorry.
carpeting. And I said we don't recommend carpeting in the basement just for these reasons.
Walter just mentioned that there were some people called mold deniers, that mold is supposed to be good for you, penicillin, cheeses, etc. From a health perspective, though, what are we talking about consequence-wise when we're talking about mold and exposure to mold, especially long term?
Mold is absolutely a health risk. This is recognized by not just Health Canada, but the World Health Organization, the US EPA, the National Institute of Health in the US. Every organization across the world is going to recognize that exposure to mold, especially high levels of exposure, is not good for you. Now, there's a wide spectrum. Some people are going to be more sensitive or more affected by mold exposure. Now, these people could be the young or the elderly, but more often than not, it's asthmatics and people with allergies, which is a significant proportion of our population, up to 10%, especially in children. People with asthma, their asthma can get worse just from exposure to mold, and it can even be at low levels when it's growing in the house or you have some kind of contamination. But mold's one of the few allergens that's recognized to actually cause asthma. So in certain individuals, exposure to mold can actually cause the development of
Wow.
asthma. It's one of like two allergens that are recognized to do that.
And is it a question of time as well? Like, I mean, you obviously walking in and out of a room and that you see it and you're gone, but like, is there a point at which it becomes dangerous? Or again, if you see it, it's already a problem and a potential health risk.
Well, we breathe mold in all the time, inside and outside. There's just lots of mold spores, different species. When it's inside, you might start to get higher levels of certain different species. Now, they all are going to cause similar allergic reactions. So we don't really say, look out for this color of mold or this specific species so much. Mold is mold, really, and you just want to get rid of it. As far as timing, there's such a range in people's reactions that there really isn't a level of a mold that's considered safe that just can't be determined
Okay.
because there's so much individual variability.
And can we
So
maybe,
really, if you see,
yeah, go ahead, sorry.
best to remove it.
Can we
I was
also,
gonna say, if you, sorry.
yeah, no, go ahead.
Oh, I'm finished. Thank
Okay.
you.
So I was gonna ask the effects of mold on the home itself. Can we maybe touch a little bit on that? Because there's the health risk that we touched on, but there's also the fact that the mold does grow and does migrate from one area to another, and it feeds on your on most of what your home is built from, which is cellulose-based material. Am I correct?
That's exactly right. I mean, the mold needs two components. One is the water. So if you have excess water in your house through high relative humidity, your pipe leaks or condensation through the cold surfaces, but they need something to eat. And that's unfortunately pretty much what our houses are built of and the things we bring into our homes, like plush furniture, children's toys, anything like that, wood, cardboard, paper. It will just eat. That's what it does. It eats it and grows.
Okay.
That's its purpose.
Health Canada does not recommend, rightfully so, the use of bleach on mold, which unfortunately most of the homeowners that I speak to or any contractor that does not have mold remediation training tend to want to use. Can you please touch on that as well?
We don't recommend the use of bleach. The bleach, in many cases, for your average individual, might be actually more harmful than the mold, breathing in the high levels of basically chlorine gas from using bleach. So, using soap and water is just as effective. Now, mind you, it is going to be maybe a little more difficult. So, it'll take some more elbow grease to actually clean up the mold off the surface. Say it is a hard surface you're cleaning, but we don't recommend the use of bleach. It can be done without it.
Okay. Anything else you'd like the listeners to know about mold? what other things they should look for? I mean, you've touched on the different colors of mold, which is important because there is a misconception. We all agree that mold, a lot of people think mold is just black.
Yeah, I thought
But it
that.
comes in every color, right? White, yellow,
White mold.
purple, right?
Is it more dangerous depending on the color?
You
Is that
know,
what we're
mold,
saying?
like Aaron said, mold is mold. Am I correct, Aaron?
The colors, I would not judge the damn how dangerous it is based off the color. You the same species could even be slightly different colors, so it'd be hard to even tell which one you're looking at.
All right. That there are mold deniers and that there are different colors of mold, and bleach is a no-no, amongst many other things. Thank you so much for joining us on the Home Improvement Show.
Thank you. And if you want any more information, people, you just put Health Canada and mold into your search engine on the internet, and all these documents will pop up that reiterate everything I've said today, or more detail, probably.
All right. Thank you again. Okay. Listen, this is it. Colors of mold.
Oh yeah, you'll be there. Some of them are actually nice.
Oh
I'm
gosh.
telling you that there are very interesting colors, and you
No.
think they look cute and you want to keep them, but
Stop,
that's not really
stop.
the case.
Stop. Listen, 514-790-0800. Give us a call if you want to ask Walter Assey any questions for your home improvement projects. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to another edition of the Home Improvement Show, where you get to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all sorts of questions about your home improvement projects, things that you've been wanting to work on, maybe things you tried to work on and oops, kind of broke the whole thing. 514-790-0800. That is the call line and also the text line. And just before the break, Walter, we were speaking with our friends over at Health Canada about mold, what kind of mold. I didn't realize that there were different colors of mold, for example. And we got a text message in, and this is interesting because our expert, Aaron Wilson, mentioned that you can clean it. Some mold with soap and water. And Jonathan just texted us and he said, how much water and soap and what kind of soap do you use to clean the mold?
So that's a great question. Now, one thing we have to keep in mind that this is for quantities that are less than 3 square meters. As you know, anything above that is considered 1 to 3 square meters, I should say. That's considered, if you want, a lower contamination.
So like a
Now,
little
there is,
patch, a little
correct.
patch.
So there's a technique behind it that is extremely important. You don't want to overwater and keep it humid for a long time. You have to dry it as fast as possible because humidity in the wall, just the introduction of the soap and the water, will create more mold.
So we're
So
using a
there
blow
is a
dryer?
fine, if you want, balance between the two. Number one, you want to have a damp cloth. Not a wet one. And then what you want to do is you want to dry it as fast as possible. Okay. Now, in areas where you see the materials, the structural materials, so the drywall, if it's wet, you want to take it out. But let's say you are addressing a 2x4 and it's not coming out, the staining is not coming out. What you need is to go with something a bit more abrasive, like a steel brush. To get that all that staining out, it's very important that we again that it gets dried as fast as possible. So not over introduce or over water, because that will kind of bring you to other problems in the cavity, which you don't want.
And the soap? What
The
kind of
soap you
soap?
want to have as like if, even like Dawn liquid soap. So any soap that does not have so many chemicals in it,
So not an
the softer,
antibacterial?
like the softer soaps are usually better.
Okay.
And again, I mean, we use biocides, plant-based biocides, so it's a notch above that. But if you absolutely need to have something from the home, you want to use like a liquid soap, Dawn, it's great. Everybody almost use that.
Should it be antibacterial or it doesn't matter? You just want the cleaning property.
So you want the cleaning properties. It doesn't matter if it's antibacterial or not, because it's not really that it's mold is an or is a microscopic fungi. So cleaning it through liquid soap that does not have a lot of different chemicals in it is the proper way. Because don't forget, we when you are in the process of getting rid of the mold does release mycotoxins. Okay, so that's why we say always wear protection, because you don't want also to be overexposed yourself.
Somebody just texted about vinegar, cleaning with vinegar. You had said before that it's not
I
necessarily.
mean, vinegar is a type of a disinfectant. The if you want the most the more accepted form of cleaning of mold is soap and water in small quantities. I say that again and again because I don't want that to be and the fact that the other thing that we touched on that is important, if you because I see a lot of people that say, okay, well, you know what? I had a flood, it dried up now. No. There's nothing called dried up in mold. There's a lot of material that retain water for a long time, even if you see that the surface is dry in the cavity, if you have a subfloor, if you have black paper, I mean that the black paper acts like a sponge. So that natural humidity have already created fast intervention is going to save you money and not going to cost you money.
The sooner the better. 514-790-0800. We've got lots of calls coming in. Anthony actually is on the line, and Anthony has a question about mold inside the walls. Anthony, can you hear us?
Yes, I can certainly hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, take it away, Anthony.
Okay, great. So it's nice to meet both of you. I'm a contractor in Hudson, so my question is three quick. I have three quick questions. When you, if there's mold inside the walls, is it a hazard? Is it dangerous to be breathing the air? Are the mold spores are being released into the air, the regular air? Second question is, and Walter Moore for you, in your opinion as a contractor, when you come across something like this, and we've come across a lot of mold, should I, in best practice, recommend there's a problem here, we should really tear these walls open and change what the issue is?
So that these are two great questions. The first thing is when we do find mold in cavities, the fact of the matter is that mold does grow and does expand, so it eats up on most cellulose-based materials. That's why we in a lot of times we see staining through the drywall.
Right.
And that's the action of the mold in the cases of cavity mold eating through the material and arriving to the outside, which means now you are breathing those spores. Spores will find their way out through plugs, electrical plugs, any openings in the wall. So, how much of it is another story that will require maybe an air quality test to tell you.
Right.
But the fact that you do have the mold, you shouldn't ignore it because if it's not in the air yet, it will eventually get in the air. The other part of your question is as equally important, if not more important. Where we run into big trouble is when contractors or homeowners, they see mold, they panic, and they start demolishing everything without the proper containment. Because
Right.
once you are in the process of demolishing and opening, you are releasing the spores in the air. So if you're not with negative air scrubbers, with containment zones, exit chambers, positive HEPA air intake, you're actually taking that problem and amplifying it for the
You're
homeowner.
spreading it. You're spreading it everywhere.
That is correct. So there is a way, there is a very, I mean, the New York Protocol is very clear about these steps. They have to be followed. I do recommend, every contractor that is dealing with mold to take mold remediation courses to understand what
Okay.
he's dealing with for his own health and for the health of the occupants, as well.
Okay, good. I'll do that then for sure. And okay, that's excellent. That's good to know. And then, but with that training, I should be able to. I don't have to. I'm not by law obliged to call a mold removing company, but I just need to make sure I follow the correct steps to protect the homeowner and myself. And
You're absolutely right,
it's
Anthony.
protocol, right?
Well, here's where you're right, Anthony. By law or by RBQ, because that's what we all follow. You're not in Quebec. We're not there yet. I wish we get there. I wish it becomes part of the curriculum. I wish it becomes part of the at least training as far as RBQ is concerned. It's not. We're not there yet. So you don't have to by law. But if you don't know what you're doing, especially, a lot of the contractors out there, I'm talking to you as well. This is, I mean, this is, and this, as per what you heard from Health Canada, it's a serious thing to deal with. So if you don't know what you're doing, it's best that you consult a mold remediation specialist for sure, especially if it's an important contamination.
And keep yourself safe, Anthony. Thank you so much for that call. This is the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. We're taking your calls and your text messages.
CTV Sunday, March 2nd. It's the night movie fans wait for all year, the Oscars.
Hosted by me, Conan O'Brien.
Celebrate cinema on Hollywood's biggest night, the Oscars. All starts live Sunday at 6:30, 3:30 Pacific.
Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, the president of Renovco, your questions. Lots of questions coming in this morning about mold, because we had a mold expert come in from Health Canada. And one of the questions for you, Walter, is can you recommend a contractor just calling in saying that not necessarily every contractor knows the proper procedure for mold removal? So what should you look for?
The first thing is you should ask what is the certification that the contractor have full mold remediation before they remove the mold. So if they do not have any designation or any, for example, more specifically the IICRC or the Clean Trust, then that, you know, more often than not, they don't have the proper training to do the work. So any company that have that mold remediation, like for example, at Renovco, before I started talking about mold and became, you know, I had to follow courses to become a mold remediation or antibacterial remediation specialist.
So there's a proper procedure. There's procedure.
There is, because, I mean, again, there are, mold is a kind of thing. I mean, if you don't do it right, you think you're doing the right thing, but you are actually magnifying the problem into many different bigger folds of issues that may occur. So any company that have an IICRC mold remediation specifically training, then that at least would tell you that, you know, they follow some type of training.
You're on the right track there. Okay, Bonnie's been waiting patiently on the line, and Bonnie has an issue with the cement floor in her basement. Bonnie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
All right, take it away.
Okay, well, I think the mold was dealt with properly. The insurance company sent in three huge machines to dry everything up, and I think it did a pretty good job. My problem now, in December, a guy came along, and we were replacing the cement floor in the south of Milliales, which is the one downstairs from my where I live upstairs in my home. And what he did was he had to level the bumps and the lumps on the cement floor in order that we could put down the new tiling, the new vinyl tiling. Mm-hmm. Now, he hung a thick plastic sheet, a curtain, along the stairway, which was supposed to prevent the dust from coming upstairs, but it didn't. And there's dust everywhere now for 3 months upstairs where I live. It's on the walls, it's on the ceiling, it's on the floors, it's in the furniture, it even went into the cupboards. What in the world? How do I deal with this? It's just taking me so long to try and get this dust under control, to get rid of it. And even if you clean an area and then you find out in a week or in a week and a half later, it's all full of dust again from the new dust that's still in the air that's settling everywhere.
Okay. So,
and now it's causing me problems. I feel it's causing me, like, my hands, the skin on my hands is just, the fingers, at the end of the fingers, are splitting open and breaking and bleeding. And I'm sure that's something to do with the dust. And I don't know what about my lungs.
So
what do I do?
Okay, let's distinguish. This is not a mold-related question as much as it is a silica dust question, which too much silica dust is also not good for you.
No.
Now, a curtain or a containment plastic is not necessarily the right way to go when you are in the process. And again, this is a very common mistake where, you know, people, sometimes contractors would just put a plastic on an opening and they hope for the best. Mm-hmm. When you are in the process of creating a lot of dust through sanding, grinding, what should have happened is they should have had earth scrubbers exhausting to the outside. So negative air machines, which are sucking the air out of your, the bad air out of your home and exhausting it out. by you not doing that, what he's doing in essence is just spreading the particles in the air.
Yes.
And these are very fine particles that will just find any opening in your ducts and your returns and, you know, and behind, any opening that there is, and it will find its way up. So I do, I understand your pain, and I will tell you that this is going to take a while for sure. What needs to happen is, number one, you need to clean your ducts. You need to change your filter in your ducts if you have a ventilation system.
No, I don't.
You don't. Okay, so that's actually a good thing, believe it or not, in this particular case, because you're not circulating the bad air from different areas. What you need to do, maybe it's after the fact, but it should help, is to get those air scrubbers now, and you start creating a negative air environment in your home by which the dust that is in the air that keeps on settling and settling and settling now gets sucked into machines and trapped, rather than just, you know, because when you're vacuuming or when you're cleaning, your vacuum is not a HEPA vacuum, so it does exhaust back the dust, some of it at least, from the other part of the vacuum. It's more made and engineered to suck particulate.
Okay, but on the dust is like just settled everywhere, the windows, the walls, the curtains, the floor, everywhere.
Correct. So what you need to do is two things. Number one, if you can have access to commercial negative air machines, so now we are sucking and purifying the air, because that's what really what you want to do. Anything that's settled, you clean it, it's going to you're going to spread back again in the air, and it's going to settle again. So it's going to be this losing battle for a while. And whatever you're vacuuming, if you can have access to a real HEPA vacuum cleaner.
Where do you get, how?
Hazmasters would sell it, Safety would sell it. Although these are American companies, so I shouldn't have said that. but I mean, yeah, there are many, shop, like even vacuum cleaning companies that specialize in vacuum cleaners could have access, but make sure you want a HEPA vacuum and not a HEPA filter vacuum. It's two completely different stories. It is a bit more expensive. You can also rent them. So if you don't want to buy one, you can also reach out to these companies and you can ask them to rent one. And you take it for a week and you keep on vacuuming with it, because what's happening is it's not exhausting back out any of that dust that you are vacuuming. And if you can have access to a negative commercial negative air pressure, it will do wonders on the air quality itself as well.
Okay, what is a commercial negative? What is that?
So what it is, it's a machine that have multiple filters, so multiple layer filters that will suck the air out and purify it. So there's, from the other end, from the exhaust end, the air that's coming out is clean and have no particulate in it. I like to usually exhaust it to the outside because I don't want to create any air circulation as much as possible in these areas. So what you're doing is you're kind of changing the air. You're sucking the air and getting a bit more positive air and sucking it and purifying it until you are sure. Usually, like it might take up to 3 days in certain cases, until you're sure that you've kind of taken any of the harmful particulate out and filtered it out and exhausted it out of the house.
Bonnie, thank you so much for your call. I hope that helps you out. Again, you can rent that. You can rent it.
You can rent it because, I mean, they are expensive to buy. The smaller ones, you can get away with getting them for about $500. But some of them can go up to $4,000 or $5,000.
Okay, so better to rent before making that giant commitment like that. You're listening to the Home.
Clarification. Safety is a Canadian company.
Safety, there you go. Yeah. We're still trying for Canadian companies. Safety is the Canadian company. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, who's the president of Bernofco, your questions when it comes to your home improvement, your repairs, your projects, your knickknacks and your doodads. He's got you covered. Arlene has been waiting so patiently on the line. Arlene, we appreciate you. And Arlene has a question about her vinyl flooring, luxury vinyl flooring. Arlene, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Take it away.
We would like to install luxury vinyl flooring over our hardwood. Do we have to take up our hardwood? Because we're worried about the weight of the vinyl flooring itself. It's very heavy. And we want to replace it room by room in our duplex. And we live on the second floor.
So it's why would you say your vinyl floor is very heavy? It's typically
We went to buy it, and the boxes itself it's heavy to install.
I get it. But
I was worried that we don't want to take up our wood floors if we don't have to. We were hoping to put it over our wood floors, our existing wood floors, just to save us time, energy, money. And whatnot.
Got it. So when we look at weight, we don't look at compacted weight. What we look is at the spread out weight of the flooring.
Okay.
And from all the flooring there is, it's one of the lighter load flooring, which is a good news for you.
Okay.
You can install it on top of hardwood because there's no nailing. There's no anything that will, if you wish, bother the hardwood floor underneath. Will not take care necessarily of any creaking or any movement underneath, any cracking on the hardwood floor if you walk on it. That will not be solved by installing it on top. So that, just be mindful of that. The only thing where I'm careful is with floor, or else it will lift or move in certain areas. Installer should be mindful of that, and should be equipped with laser levels just to make sure that there's no bumps or dips that are pronounced enough that might cause the floor to bounce, because if it does bounce with time, it will separate. The planks will separate.
Okay.
But beside that, it's a great flooring.
It's a great floor. And gluing, we don't have to glue. Like, we're hoping not to glue down.
You don't have to glue. There are two different types. There are types where you can click and or glue. There are types that you can glue as well. And there are types that you just click. So you don't have to go. And the glue type is usually where we go with floors that are not even. So that, that floor now transitions into the flexible and not the rigid one. And then you can glue that, and that have a lot more forgiving when it comes to uneven flooring. But the click ones in particular, especially the rigid ones, are very finicky when it comes to level floors.
Arlene, thank you so much for your call.
All right, thank you.
Take care. We've got time for one last call, and Greg is on the line, and Greg is redoing his floors. Greg, can you hear us?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Greg, we can't hear you. Greg, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, take it away, but maybe don't move. Just your lips.
Okay, well, I've got a good spot here. I've got a 1959 McGill split. The floor has, I guess, deteriorated in the garage from salt, I guess, when cars were parked in there. And I'm looking at redoing.
Greg, you're looking at redoing what? Sorry, Greg, you're looking at redoing the floor. We keep losing you. And what is the issue?
The garage floor.
Is uneven, you said?
It's uneven and it's cracked. And whether I should jackhammer the whole floor or try to repair the cracks and refinish the garage floor.
Walter?
I mean, if you're looking to make everything even, the only way really is to do that is to break the floor and the cracked areas and redo them. And sometimes you could just do them by section, meaning if just one particular area that is affected, you don't necessarily have to take out the whole slab. If you mind the cracks but don't mind the heaving, because it's not as much of a big deal, then there are solutions where you will fill up the cracks, and you can go with epoxy type resin floor, which is very durable. And to do that, they usually would repair the cracks and fill them up. and then they will do there is an epoxy floor on top. So that's known to last a long time. It's beautiful. It's clean. It seals the cement in place. So you don't have that cement dust every time you come in and out of the home. Uh-huh. And if you want something that is maybe more affordable, there is the rubber floor that you glue on the cement as well. That's probably the more affordable one of the three.
Okay, great.
Greg,
okay.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, before we let you go, Walter, you mentioned a Canadian company before. We want to highlight
them. So Gentech, Maybach, Alcan. So if you are
Gentech. Okay.
These are three different companies.
Yes.
I'm just shooting names out.
It's not a law firm.
Yeah. So the reason we're mentioning these companies because they are Canadian. They do all kind of siding products, gutters, not maybe Maybach, gutters, soffits. So anything that is outside. They do also shutters, Gentech and Alcan. And they sell flashing rolls as well. So Maybach is more, they have more siding. They have the CanExcel line. They have the wood line. And these are Canadian companies. They manufacture here. So we're coming to the season of outside work. If you are looking for, we're not paid for these. It's very important. We're not just
nobody's giving Walter any. He's not getting a kickback here. This is a part of Renovco
and
Walter's initiative.
We're not endorsing. We're just talking about Canadian companies because that's the right thing to do. We also want to mention the Ask Walter button. I know a lot of people can get through. So that's one way of staying in touch with you, especially in Ottawa and all the other markets that we air. It will be my pleasure to answer as fast as I can.
Walter Essie, it's always a pleasure over Renovco. That's what I wanted to say. That does it for us. Have a fantastic rest of the day.
Thank you.